Bazier.
And I'm Mark Howard.
And this is Talking Points. Lesson 11 this time, Pastor Howard, of our On Death, Dying, and the Future Hope series. This one is titled End Time Deceptions. And putting the lesson together this week, or reviewing it for myself, I noticed that this is kind of like 2 weeks ago, we had a list of potential contradictions, or people might view them as contradictions. There's kind of a list. This week, there's a list, but instead of contradictions or apparent contradictions, there are...
Let me guess. End-time deceptions.
Exactly right. So it's plural deceptions. So we're not talking about one thing. There's a whole category and listing of them that we're going to break down here in just a few minutes. I don't believe we have any other preliminary conversation that we need to have, unless you have something I'm not remembering.
No.
All right. Can you
Let's
give us a word of prayer
into
there?
The lesson.
All right.
After prayer. Father in heaven, we are just thankful for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who's given us an understanding in spiritual things. We pray that the Spirit would guide each one as they are either teaching or participating in the class this week. We pray that you would guide our understanding in a practical way that would help us to be to live faithful lives to you in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, as I mentioned, this week's the focus of this week's lesson is a variety of, and not just end-time deceptions, because the title is End-Time Deceptions, but they're all specifically related to the overarching topic of death and dying. So these are what I've termed death-related deceptions, right? So I'm sure there's other deceptions. Satan has a myriad of different ways, but we're looking specifically at those death-related deceptions that Satan has used and, as we're going to see from Scripture, will increasingly use as we get closer to the end of time to confuse people, to divert their minds from Christ and faith in him. So essentially, we're going to be cataloging deceptions that Satan uses specifically as related to death to get people away from true faith in Christ.
All right.
All right. So let's walk through our talking points. Number one, mysticism opens the mind to death-related deceptions. Okay? That's coming primarily from Sunday, but it really does, well, we'll get into it, but it's basically the framework inside of everything else fits. Okay, so mysticism is that key. All right, so talking point number two, Satan has many mystical death-related deceptions. So these are plural, and you'll notice this one comes from Sunday through Thursday, because again, it's the catalog listing of multiple different ways that Satan can deceive people on this issue. And finally, number three, on a positive note, Scripture is our only safeguard against deception. So again, whether it's the confusion from contradictory passages or deceptions from the pit of hell himself, all of it is our security and safety is in the Word of God.
Which is also Sunday through Thursday.
Well, what you notice, what happens was you'll talk about one particular thing, and fortunately, or providentially, the cure for that's going to be in Scripture. So each one kind of has it. Here's the deception, here's the remedy, and it's always going to be Scripture. So let's walk through them one by one, shall we?
I'm glad you said that. You started to say, fortunately, and then providentially.
Yeah.
You almost said, luckily, and then,
you don't want to have that.
Mystically, it's all there. No.
Exactly. Well, we're not getting into that. But that does a nice segue. What is mysticism, anyway? Because when I was a little intimidated by this lesson, maybe some of the teachers will be too. It's like, we're going to talk about mysticism one day and spiritualism another day and witchcraft and then necromancy. It's like, I don't even know all these terms. How are they differentiated? So the lesson, I thought, did a pretty decent job of breaking it down, and we'll try to make it even more clear.
Yeah, there's a common thread here. So
there is. Why don't you read, if you wouldn't mind, the first paragraph of Sunday's where it talks about the word mysticism, right?
Sure.
In fact, you can just start with the first two sentences there.
Yes, the word mysticism is a complex term that encapsulates a huge variety of ideas. From a religious perspective, the word implies the union of the individual with the divine or absolute in some kind of spiritual experience or trance.
Exactly, and that idea, I wanted to bring up, they start this lesson here on Sunday with the idea that mysticism is a complex term, and it's got a lot of stuff inside of it. So it's not one particular branch. It's kind of the overarching umbrella of philosophical framework that other specific deceptions fit into. Because we're going to look at near-death experiences, but you have to have a mystical mindset to even be open to these other things, right? And so I think that's
what we're... So the concept is a spiritual versus a material one.
Yes. Or this idea that, like, for instance, atheism might have, I am, you know, there's nothing spiritual at all.
Right.
But here, I want the spiritual, but the confines of a scripture or a religion or some sort of set form, I want to be open to spiritual things, but closed to, let's say, doctrine or specific teaching. Well, that's going to be a problem.
That Satan spiritual can... without structure. It's kind
exactly.
of like a...
Now, I looked this up in the Oxford Dictionary, and the definition of a mystic, like an individual who is mystical in their thinking, is, quote, a person who seeks by contemplation and self-surrender to obtain unity with or absorption into the deity or the absolute, whatever this big misty other is, right? Or who believes in the spiritual apprehension of truths that are beyond the intellect. Now think about that. I'm open to spiritual things, even spiritual truths, but may not even cognitively understand it, or it might be beyond what my mind can process. So it's not going to be limited by some scripture, a book, or some specific teaching. So at its core, my boiled down definition is that mysticism is non-biblical spirituality. Okay, so anything that's, quote, spiritual, but not grounded in a thus saith the Lord, somehow you're going to open yourselves up to, it's a very dangerous thing, but you'll hear sentiments like, I'm spiritual, just not religious. Or that might be truth for you, but not for me. It's a very kind of loosey-goosey, and the lesson talks about how it's very personal, it's experience-driven. So I think, like, you'll see, like, I like outdoor stuff and everything, and I'll see on Instagram or YouTube some people who are influencers or whatever, and they're taking beautiful pictures, and they'll talk about a sunrise being a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. But they might be pagans, they might be completely untethered from scripture, but the idea of being moved by poetry or music or beauty or a flight of fancy, well, that's mystical, right? And that's kind of what we're talking about here. So when it comes to the topic of the state of the dead, for instance, how do we know what happens when someone dies? Clearly the dead are not reporting back to us. Well, some might think they are, but God's word outlines for us the truth about what life is, what death is, what our hope is in the resurrection, how we can have eternal life in Christ. All of that is outlined in Scripture. But if you try to filter out the spiritual and keep that, but then jettison the Scripture, you are completely unmoored from any safeguard, and now you're completely open to Satan's
Well, there's deceptions. A plurality of things that this would have, you know, you've got your Eastern religions and what have you, which then become moored again into all the teachings of Buddha or Confucius or Taoism or whatever else. But they didn't, you know, it was because they pull it out of Scripture, take spirituality, and then the founder of the religion or whatever could then basically mold it into...
Created in his own image or something like that.
Much.
So people might be, quote, moored to some sort of other scripture tradition or teaching, but really that is coming from a disconnect from God's original.
These things always amuse me a little bit because it's like the, you know, you go back to the whole absolute truth issue where somebody says, well, I don't believe it. There's such thing. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Which in and of itself is a statement of absolute truth.
It's a definitive statement,
and so there's no such thing as a spirituality that doesn't have parameters.
Mm.
It's just you talk to the person who believes in whatever, and they
set
the parameters.
Of beliefs,
You can't not have some level of, no, I just believe in, guess what you just gave, your parameters.
Right.
So there's this feeling like it's more organic, like you said, it's like, oh, I'm not bound by the Bible. No, you're bound by your own narrow ideas. And anyway.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thought. So basically, and this lesson brought this up, there's really, you're not just worshiping some other thing. You really just, it's a way to worship wherever your natural inclination wants to go. And Satan can use that to address you and make you think things and influence you in certain ways. And that's just dangerous ground for
any person. Well, like you said, it is, in essence, non-biblical spirituality, which I think your last talking point kind of comes back home to that.
Well, and we're going to come back to this, but let's go on to talk about number two now, that Satan has many mystical and specifically death-related deceptions. So once somebody, I'm trying to walk this through logically, once somebody detaches from Scripture, yet wants to be or yearns for spirituality, Satan will absolutely honor your request. It's like, fine, I'll give you spiritual things. And if you don't want this Bible in the way, I'll filter. And so there's all kinds of them. Now, spiritualism is one of the terms that comes up here in the lesson.
So and spiritualism, the most basic definition is the belief that you can communicate with the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're looking at this theme, I mean, that really cuts the legs out from underneath that theory. If you believe biblically that the dead are dead,
mm-hmm.
they sleep, you can't have, spiritualism can't, and all of these other counterparts
mm-hmm.
all dissipate.
Well, and it seems to be that, and as I'm thinking about it here, spiritual is the root of it is spirit,
mm-hmm.
that we're all a spirit, either have mm-hmm. a spirit, or we're all one spirit, but somehow mm-hmm. there's what you've heard, the spirit plane or the spirit whatever, that there is no life and death, there's just this spirit in different forms. So now it totally makes sense to communicate with the dead because they didn't really die.
Right.
And they might be in some other form. And maybe if there's a way we can contact them and bridge the gap between
right.
the finite
that
and the
realm
infinite,
that we can,
right,
we can
tap
into
the realm. So spiritualism, now the lesson brings
Let's
out.
Let's be clear, there yeah. is a realm where yeah. there are all kinds of spirit beings,
and
but
in,
it's not the one you think you're tapping
exactly.
into.
Now, people will think, and I love that, Sister White, you study this out in the Spirit of Prophecy, especially in the Great Controversy, we talked about these end-time mm-hmm. deceptions. She can say, people might look at all of that, like, voodoo nonsense kind of stuff as like, oh, that's
right.
all junk. And they might think that, oh, it's either spiritual mumbo-jumbo junk
right.
or the reality, which is not spiritual. She's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. There is spiritual. Let's
yes.
be clear. But there's which spirit are we being led by, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, why don't you read that statement from Great Controversy 557, speaking of this issue.
Yes, a spiritualism which numbers its converts by hundreds of thousands, yea, by millions, which has made its way into scientific circles, which has invaded churches and has found favor in legislative bodies, and even in the courts of kings, is but a revival in a new disguise of the witchcraft condemned and prohibited of old.
Mm. Now, other context, she talks about how people might look at the stories of Scripture and or look at other cultures and it's like, oh, that's so, mm-hmm. you know, foreign or old or but the imbibing...
Or even superstitious.
Sure.
You know, the old idea of witchcraft and Salem witch trials and stuff,
yeah.
which, of course, there's... But when you look at the history just in America of spiritualism,
mm-hmm.
and in fact, Ellen White has a lot of to say about that, but the history in America of spiritualism, it you see it gaining ascendancy where you have this looking down on this, you know, oh, witchcraft and sorcery and
mm-hmm.
the things condemned in the Bible and how they're not even associated with this modern
And some would even say Christian spiritualist,
yes.
or something like that. You can try to fuse these two together, but the underlying root of that idea that it starts with the untethering from Scripture and the truth about the state of the dead and what life even is, comes up, well, for instance, there's all kinds of ways this manifests, okay?
Yeah.
The lesson highlights them page after page. Each day's lesson talks about a different one, but one was talked about was near-death experiences, right?
Well, let's be clear about something. God clearly condemned all of these forms of witchcraft,
sorcery,
yeah, communication yeah. with the dead. So I've heard the term, and I've said, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian spiritualist. No, you're not a Christian spiritualist.
Right,
there
it's an
is
oxymoron.
No, yeah, there is no such thing. I think it needs to be very clear that you can't call yourself Christian when you fly in the face of the plainest statements of the
well,
Lord.
Well, it's almost like calling yourself...
I mean, these were punishable by death crimes
yeah.
because the Lord understood that you're playing with evil spirits when you're doing this, unbeknownst to you.
Right.
So,
well, it's like calling yourself an unbiblical Christian. Like it is not a thing that can be. You can call yourself that, or you can be
right.
a Christian spiritualist, but you're that the spiritualist negates the Christian part.
That's right.
That's the whole point. Now, with that frame of mind, you think of near-death experiences, and there's all kinds of, even in quote Christian circles,
mm-hmm.
of near-death experiences. I was dead for so many minutes, and I went to heaven,
right.
and I came back. I saw a light, I heard a voice, and the idea that...
Or I went to hell and was terrified, and there is a real hell,
I came
and
back
I got a second
to warn people,
and
all
so,
this kind
right.
of stuff. That this, if the Bible is true, which of course we know that it is, that that's not reality, then it's got to be coming from somewhere else. And it's not just the figment of the imagination, because we might dismiss
mm-hmm.
it as like, oh, they're all crazy. What if
they're
actually...
on hospital drugs and this
right,
and the other.
But what
which
if
is...
Satan is taking that openness to non-biblical spirituality and infusing it with a deception
that right.
is very compelling to some people, right? And evangelicalism, even nominal Christianity, but susceptible to this. Reincarnation is just another iteration of Satan's spiritual or mystical deceptions. But this is for Hinduism and Buddhism. You think about that. They're all about the, which I think we were joking about this earlier, that what was your comment about that?
Well, you know, people don't believe, you know, people don't believe in a resurrection. Like, you can come back bodily as a person, but you can come back as a cow, or I think you said a beetle, or it's like, no, that's totally tenable.
Exactly. So the things people reject but then accept in its place is interesting. You have ancestor worship with Taoism and Confucianism, you know, Far East, and personations and other appearances of influential people or dead people, family members, the dearly departed, those kind of things, right?
I've had a lot of encounters as a pastor with people who have had these firsthand experiences, and I think we need to come back to, you talked about the near-death experiences, and I think a lot of those are induced by medications and what have you, but let's be clear.
Or at least influenced somehow.
At least influenced. But let's be clear, there are real spiritual, there is a real spiritual world.
Right.
I'm not denying that. What the Bible wants us to understand is that the evil spirits that Lucifer and his minions can personate, as our memory verse implies, other beings. And so there is a spiritual world. So that some of these encounters that we have, and as I said, I've met people as a pastor, like, hey, I saw there's a spirit form. I saw it in the house coming down the stairs, and I saw my grandma, and I had this conversation, this, that, and the other. I mean, I'm just saying that wasn't your grandma.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the neighbor that lived next door to us when we moved to our house when I was was a kid, we were getting to know the neighbors, and one of the lady and her husband, they had been previously married, and so she talked about this visitor coming by, and my mom was talking to her about it, and she's like, oh yeah, and come to find out, the visitor she was talking about was the deceased first wife of the husband would come and visit in the house. And I was like, how's the what? And they just thought that was a normal, you know, sometimes she just makes an appearance or she'll whatever, and it's like, what are you talking about, you know? But this is mainstream, normal, you know.
I had a church member who used to talk to her deceased mother on a phone that wasn't hooked up.
Mercy.
And when she learned the Bible truth and accepted it, no more conversations.
She hung up the phone, I hope.
No, it wasn't she hung up the phone. She stopped getting the calls when she made that commitment. Now, in some cases, a person makes that, like you said, I'm not getting on. But it's just, that's just one example of many such similar situations when a person comes to understand the truth. Well, they've been undeceived.
Right. And once the scales were removed, all of a sudden, hey, it stopped happening. Well, it's not that it wasn't happening. It's now that you have defense against it and you know the truth. And so I want to be clear, I think we've already mentioned this before, but I don't want to set up the idea that all of these things are just imaginary and it's just a hocus pocus. I genuinely believe in a spiritual realm.
That's right.
I just believe that there's the Lord and his truth guided by the Holy Spirit, and then there's the anti that that's led by Satan and his minions. And so
Heavenly
one of the dangers he can make
angels.
Us do is think that it's not real. And that's a great deception too, right?
Absolutely.
So Satan, in fact, this next statement speaks about how Satan, whatever your frame of mind and whatever your cultural background, whatever your, you know, religious experience has been, has an end-time deception, specifically death-related end-time deception, crafted for you. Let's take a look at this statement. You want to read it for us? It starts,
I just want to interject that heavenly angels and evil angels, the Bible records both of them, very clearly in Scripture are portrayed as beings we can't see, but are very real and carry on very real, you know, actions and communications and what have you. So,
well, we're also told that they can take the form of something we can see. And so the reality is there and how it interacts.
Well, and we see that. I mean, Abraham saw angels appear, men, angels as men coming. And Hebrews tells us, I believe in that context, that in entertaining strangers, you may be entertaining angels unawares.
When you think the opposite of that, with Jesus at the cross, we're told that there were angels in that mob stirring them up to their chanting of crucify him, crucify him. So, like, Satan had his agents in
that
mix.
Right.
It's fascinating. Why don't you read that statement for us, the Prince of Darkness.
The Prince of Darkness, who has so long bent the powers of his mastermind to the work of deception, skillfully adapts his temptations to men of all classes and conditions, to persons of culture and refinement. He presents spiritualism in its more refined and intellectual aspects, and thus succeeds in drawing many into his snare. The wisdom which spiritualism imparts is described by the Apostle James, which descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, James 3:15. This, however, the great deceiver conceals when concealment will best suit his purpose. He who could appear clothed with the brightness of the heavenly seraphs before Christ in the wilderness of temptation, comes to men in the most attractive manner as an angel of light. He appeals to the reason by the presentation of elevating themes. Mm. He delights the fancy with enrapturing scenes. He enlists the affections by his eloquent portrayals of love and charity.
Mm.
He excites the imagination to lofty flights, leading men to take so great pride in their own wisdom. So here are all approaches that he uses to different people.
Tries to address the heart with emotions, try the intellect or the pride or whatever.
Right, yeah. The senses, the reason, all in a different way. To take so great pride in their own wisdom that in their hearts they despise the Eternal One. That mighty being who could take the world's Redeemer to an exceeding high mountain and bring before him all the kingdoms of the earth and the glory of them will present his temptations to men in a manner to pervert the senses of all who are not shielded by divine power.
Mm.
It's a powerful statement.
And the scripture warns of this repeatedly. This is one of the themes that not only does it exist, but it's also going to increase as the day approaches, right? Think of our memory text, and no wonder it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, so it is not strange if his ministers also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness. Their end will match their deeds.
You were talking about voodoo, and this statement here where she says, to persons of culture and refinement, he presents spiritualism in its more refined and intellectual aspects.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who their spiritism is involved in things like voodoo and some of the chanting and rites,
yeah.
And you're like, that's so...
It's so base, it's so, yeah.
But the devil knows how to flip the script.
Yes.
And this is what it's talking about here, how, look, if your thing is, you're an emotional person, and you're moved by portrayals of love and charity...
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think about that with the devil, but the devil can dress up the most beautiful portrayals of love and charity that you've ever seen.
Mm.
And of course, Hollywood's filled with it. I mean, you can't put the devil knows how to manipulate emotions and reason. And anyway, it's just a fascinating statement that he doesn't just work in the dark tribe off in some remote place that's never had greater light.
Mm-hmm.
That he has a temptation crafted for every class of person.
And that's the thing I wanted to take away from this, because you could look at this and say, well, animism, well, that's not me.
Right.
I never had a near-death experience. I have never had reincarnation be a temptation. But Satan knows that. He's like, well, I've got this group with this one. Let's move on to this one. And even the intellectual, the first world, whatever you want to call it, the modern progressive, don't think that you're beyond Satan. He's like, oh, man, they outsmarted me. No. He's got a lever to pull in each one of us, so we need to be aware of that. And the only safeguard, whether it's way far in the jungle or right here at home, the only safeguard for any human being is true spirituality, which is informed and based on the Word of God.
Well, from getting a little more practical here, take this idea of the eloquent portrayals of love and charity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing that we sometimes refer to as spiritualizing away the Scripture.
Mm.
That's still a form of spiritualism. It's like you're not worshiping something, or you're not necessarily in your mind, you're chanting or whatever else. But when you read things in the Bible, say, I don't know, my God wouldn't do that. My God is a God of love and yada yada. And you start to disagree with the things of Scripture because of these, for
your
example,
eloquent
portrayals of love or charity, or just your own ideas. You have ceased to allow the Bible to be the guide. You are spiritual. That's a form of spiritualism.
Yes.
And that's... The devil works through that form for people who wouldn't fall for other things.
Or even think about how many people have you seen in your experience who genuinely want to follow Jesus and everything, but they have this maybe an affection tie or something, deep family connections, and they learn the truth about the state of the dead, and they can't accept it because I need to think of them as still alive. I need to think, and so
right.
It's saying, like, on all other things, I'm with you, God, but on this one, as soon as you say, I'm consciously... not going here. You're unleashing yourself from Scripture.
Yes.
And then Satan's like, once I go there, I can knock down all the rest of the pins easy.
And he can make a reason to depart from Scripture very appealing and even reasonable, dare I say. Yeah, it does make sense. It would make more sense this way.
Mm.
To you, maybe, in your fallen state. So this is how, in fact, it isn't in here. I was just reading recently where, and maybe it was in here, where she talks about here she says in that first part of that statement, talks about the devil and his mastermind setting his mastermind to the work of deception. I mean, this is the most intelligent being that was ever created from mm-hmm. what Scripture tells us, mm-hmm. aside from God himself. So, you know, he can't pull one over on me. Yes, he can.
Well, in fact, we talked about how this is going to increase as we go on. In That's Evangelism, right. page 604, we read, Satan is a cunning foe, speaking to that crafty yes. intellect. And it is not difficult for the evil angels to represent both saints and sinners who have died and make these representations visible to human eyes. These manifestations will be more frequent, and developments of a more startling character will appear as we near the close of time. Mm. So I don't even know what the more startling character is, but somehow he is ramping up the world through all these different yes. types of spiritualism to be open to his final last day deceptions, where we know the crowning act, well, he's going to personate Christ himself yeah. and trying to deceive people from a clear... The exact same
Absolutely
thing with
incredible.
The Lord said, you will surely die. He says, you will not. At the end of days, he's going to say, I am the Christ, and this is the new law. And people are going to buy it.
That's
whether
right.
they're from the east or the west, north and south, higher, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. He'll have laid the groundwork so
what's
that the deception's coming.
The only way around that.
Only
talking
thing.
Point number three.
Right. Well, I put this in the note. In lesson number nine, we concluded that all apparent scripture contradictions resolve in the light of God's word. The same can be said of all the devil's deceptions. Satan's lies are exposed by the word of God.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 6, we know about this, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but what's the remedy for that spiritual is to put on the full armor of God.
That's right.
And we have to be armed with the truth of God and his word if we're going to stand against this. The final quarterly statement I have in here is from Thursday, paragraph 3. It says, the satanic personations and appearances can be very frightening and deceiving, but they cannot mislead those who are sheltered by God and grounded in his word. So if you say, Lord, I want to put my faith in you, and I trust your word is true, I'm going to hang on to
this. Hold on, let me add to that. Now, I'm reading that. Satanic personations and appearances are very frightening and deceiving. They can also be very pleasing and comforting.
Mm.
You know, we just get the devil, and it's going to be, it's going to be terrifying. I'm going to tell you that when Satan appears as Christ, it is not going to be terrifying to people. It'll be terrifying to people who study the word, and they know what it is.
I know what that is, yeah.
But the masses will, every tone and gesture, the devil was here and watched everything.
Right.
He can mimic every attitude and tone and sound and gesture of Christ.
Have you ever seen those online now? They have the deep fake videos?
Yes.
Where not only have a photo, but now they can make that photo come to life and make
right.
and they take that tone of voice and they make that facial gesture. And you don't know if I'm looking at a celebrity, if I'm looking at a politician.
Yeah.
And
how much
people
more?
Have been like, dude, this is so scary of the future. But what if Satan, if that's just a foretaste of what Satan can do in real
that's
life
right.
for 3 years? It's the only safeguard is going to be
That's
it
right.
doesn't match up
and
with
I bring
the word
that out
God.
Because some people think, well, I'll know if it's the devil because I'll
scary.
Be terrified. But no, it may be very comforting and soothing. It's just contrary to the word.
Mm. Why don't you read This Day with God, page 308 as we close.
Determining to efface the image of God in man, Satan works with an intensity of effort to hide God from view. Not openly does he work, but secretly, mingling the human and the divine, the spurious and the genuine. So seeking to bring confusion and distress. But in proportionate power, divine mercy is revealed to counteract this wicked working and to bring to light the enemy's hidden purposes.
Hmm.
God's people are to bear a bold, decided testimony for the truth, unfolding the purposes of God by the witnesses of pen and by the witness of pen and voice. In place after place, they are to proclaim the message of God's word, arousing men and women to comprehend the truth. There is a reality in sound doctrine. It is not as a vapor which passes away. Light is to shine forth from the word of God.
Mm. So all that mystical vapor uncertainty that Satan can playground, when we have that foundation of the word of God, things are in concrete and they're clear. We can have calm and confidence trusting in his leading.
Amen.
All right. We need to pray as we close today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for the strength we can find in it. Thank you for the clarity it provides about these big picture issues of life and death and the eternal life we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, please help us, however, for not one moment to think that we are safe just because we claim to be Christian or we might have some Christian background. Help us to know that we must cling to Jesus and the truth in his word now more than ever before if we're going to have any safety. But thank you for giving us that shelter, that safeguard, and help us to rely on it more and more until we see Jesus himself appear. We pray it in Jesus' name.